Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We're going to explore in the last part of our show what some people are calling the NATO Three, Brian Church, Jared Chase, and Brent Vincent Beddeley, who were charged with very serious crimes in Chicago. And we'll be talking later in this half hour to folks in the National Lawyers Guild who are defending them. But right now we are talking to Nick Rohde, who is chief of the Chicago Police Department's Bureau of Organized Crime. And Nick Rohde, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Welcome. My pleasure to be here, Mr. Steiner.
Number here is 410-319-8888 if you'd like to join us. So this obviously has caused a lot of kind of question and controversy, and people are around the country. We haven't heard much from the Chicago police, at least on the air. So let me start. I mean, so this one of the things we're hearing from some people are that that the lawyers have yet to receive affidavits, search warrants, proof that what was going on, and that people are very confused about why these people were arrested. But so what is the prosecution side here?
Well, I can't speak for the state's attorney's office.
No, I mean the police.
Police department.
Yeah.
Yes, and our side is that we believe we have a very, very good case. There's not a lot of speculation in the charges, and everything's following the regular flow and routine of what we do with every case that reaches this type of level. I think that there's a lot of deflection and misrepresentation being done to try to create some doubt in people's mind, but what I can say is that our state attorney's office doesn't charge cases unless they're pretty sure that they have a very viable chance for a conviction. And the case is, in my opinion, very strong.
But one of the things that, there's some of the things I know that have come up, and I'd just like to respond to the other, because the other part of this conversation was recorded earlier. And I just want to have a chance to have your end of this, which was that,
sure.
These three men who were charged were confronted by a group of Chicago policemen on the way to Chicago that was on video that I watched. And at the end of the video, one officer saying, "We're going to get each one of you one by one," or something close to that. And that these are the same three who were arrested. So, and that people are making connection between that and kind of the stop by the Chicago police as they were coming into Chicago.
Well, and actually, that's not factual, because when that police stop was conducted, the subjects had been in Chicago for some time. It's also a fact that those police officers who stopped those subjects had no idea that they were the targets of an ongoing investigation. It was strictly a stop because officers were on high alert around different facilities in the city, and those subjects were, in fact, driving near one of our area police stations in an area that's predominantly African-American and three white males. They were circling the station, and the officers thought it was suspicious. It actually had no connection at all to the case as the case that we're discussing.
Now, one of the things that that came out as well was that the three who were arrested, I mean, the charges were very serious: conspiracy to commit terrorism, providing material support for terrorism, possession of an explosive or incendiary device, and that the people who are defending them are saying that it was, quote-unquote, one of the attorneys saying a Chicago police setup entrapment to the highest degree, that the informants or undercover officers are the ones who brought in the material that they say were incendiary devices.
Well, yeah, I heard that too. If you also recall, if you've been following the case, that in the beginning they say that we seized beer-making equipment. When they realized that that wasn't going to be a viable defense because it was unfactual, then they changed it as new stance, which is a standard type of defense. The only problem they're going to have is that we have a lot of proof that that is not the case, and they're going to have a hard time proving that, I believe.
You wanted to talk about, I know that this is mentioned in our other interview as well, we talked about the lawyers doing their own investigative work and determining who the undercover agents or informants were.
Yes, we're actually pretty disgusted with the behavior that you just described. I've been in the police work for 26 years. I've been involved with investigating gangs, gang structures, organized crime, narcotics, trafficking at a command level for many years. And even in those realms, I don't recall another case where someone has identified either a police officer or confidential informant or cooperating individual and actually put their pictures out on the internet. And basically, the only reason I could see of even attempting to do something like that is strictly to try to intimidate them. It's actually kind of disgusting, in my opinion.
Now, have their pictures been put up on the internet? Has that happened?
Yes, the pictures have been of the supposed or suspected cooperators or undercover officers has been posted all over the internet, and it's just part of an ongoing kind of retaliatory act of intimidation, I believe. They put a bunch of police officers' names and whatever personal information they could find from other officers who aren't even involved in this investigation from a whole nother group of people. This isn't related to the lawyers, don't get me wrong, or to the National Lawyer Guild. But even their personal information has been all over the paper, all over the internet. And in fact, one group of people actually called a police officer's home and told his wife that the police officer had been shot and killed and left her hanging for a few minutes in a panic and then called her back and told her, now we're coming for you. So it's kind of an ongoing, and we've seen this in other police departments where they've tried to attack a police department or government websites, but this is almost like a new level. I don't know of any other case where they've actually called police officers' personal homes and their families and tried to intimidate them, as well as posting pictures of either police officers or cooperating individuals all over the internet. So it's a little different, and it's got us a little miffed and concerned, to say the least.
We've been talking to Nick Rohde. Nick Rohde is chief of the Chicago Police Department's Bureau of Organized Crime as we look at the three people charged with terrorism in Chicago. And Nick Rohde, I would appreciate you taking the time with our listeners today, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Sure. Anytime.
Thank you so much. And we're going to take a switch, and we're going to hear from the National Lawyers Guild and their perspective on what people are calling the NATO 3 on their way there. Let me remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development, 1-800-638-7781, if you're a first or second-time home buyer and looking for a place in Baltimore.